We went to see this movie about some guy named Elvis. And Colonel Parker said that he made Elvis. And I said, that's strike one. Elvis was created by Jesus Christ, God himself. We had one Elvis. He was great. He was magnificent. Nobody made him. God made him. Amen. And he went through a rough life. We lost him at 42 years old, way too young. But we were given a gift of Elvis Presley. We were given the gifts of so many great people that we remember, that we grew up with, people we read about. One Elvis. There was only how many Elvis? One. God could have sent us somebody who cured cancer. Understand what I'm telling you. God had somebody maybe ready to come to this earth who was going to cure cancer, but somebody said, I didn't want that child to be born, and they gave him up. Or gave her up. Understand what could happen, amen? Because God is in control and he's trying to help us. He's trying to lead us and direct us. We have to listen. We have to understand that we are his children. We are not his maker. We are not his boss, amen? Just think of the great things that God has blessed us with. And we just keep saying, no, I need more. Or no, it's not the right time. Or it's not the right thing. Trust God. Let's stand up and pray together. We listen to all our friends this morning, and we're just so glad to see everybody that chose to come to church today, Lord. They came to church today, Lord. I pray that you help me feed them. You help me nourish them. You help me lift them up, encourage them. Give them hope that they didn't have before they walked in. Give them something to think about after they leave that they didn't have when they walked in, Lord, about you and your word, about the word of the Bible in this house this morning, Lord. We praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And they tell me you're on the far way. won't happen to you. We've had two studies on Revelation. We had a miracle happen at a Bible study Tuesday night. You should have been there, right? You should have been there. The miracle happened at Bible study. We didn't go down one rabbit hole. We didn't get distracted one time. We didn't get off course one time. We were talking about Revelation, and people say, ooh. Praise God, the man happens. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Be blessed, everybody. Good morning.
Good
morning. Walk on faith, Greg. Yeah, I love this song. My bride's going to sing it. Deacon Sergio, you know the football contracts when you look at it in basketball. A half $1 billion in the United States of America. Praise God. That's the beauty of our nation. Amen. Let's all stand together. Would you stand with me? Brother Walter, this one's for you. I come to you, the God alone.
Give us this day our
our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever. Be seated, be with joy, relax, sit back, take your shoes off if you want to. If your neighbor doesn't mind, but have a beautiful holy day in church, amen? That means have a good day in church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, one rabbit hole during Bible study. I need to record. So glad to see David with us. Praise God. Brother John, we call John the Boy Scout John, got called out today to help a friend who had nobody else to help him. And he sent me a text feeling bad about missing church. And I said, John, you're doing God's work. You're helping somebody who needs help. And you reached out. So we're going to lift him up and pray for him today. Amen? We lift up our brother John today, who loves this church and loves each and every one of you. He's helping somebody today. What a beautiful thing. Now, I don't want you all to get excited and run out next Sunday helping somebody. You know, it's true. I just want you to know how we're going to get into this. How important church is for me and how important church should be for you. All week long, from the moment I say amen and dismiss you, my heart is on, what am I going to preach next week? And it's really funny because God gave me a message, or I gave myself a message. Let me put it that way. What I was going to preach this week, I was determined. I got to home and I started looking. I started reading. I'm not even close to what I started with. My heart to pray this week for something and preach on something is different than what I had decided. See, God just said, that's really nice, Larry. That's really good. But the word, Larry, pay attention because there's more. So I want you to hear from God today like I hear from God, amen? Because sometimes I'm wrong. Can you ever be wrong? Yvonne said no. Responsive reading. You're all in good spirits today. This July weather's got you good. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
The words of the Lord are great. Study my whole heart with pleasure.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just telling you. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant.
He has declared to these people the power of his work. He has given them verity
and justice. And the work of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. And Paul would say, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody be in peace and have grace. So if you give them grace, you're getting grace, let's all give grace. Hallelujah. We're going to forgive, let us forgive. We're going to forget, let us forget. Especially in church. You see, I see this church as a spiritual battle. I believe God can, and I believe God will. I need people who are going to agree with me and just see that. I need that, amen? I need people to see this church as God's hand and see that you're here as God's people. You are the tools of this church. I can preach every Sunday. If nobody's hearing the word, then I'm preaching to myself. But I want you to hear the word of God. I want you to live it. I want it to be inside of you. Amen? That's why I do what I do. I do. I got some stories for you. But before we do the stories, how many times did God tell Joshua to march around Jericho in 7 days? How many times did God tell Joshua to march around Jericho in 7 days? Did he tell him to march around 7 times, 13 times, or 49 times? How many think he told him 7 times, march around Jericho, 7? How many, 13? We got anybody with 13? 13. We got anybody 49? 7 times 7 is how much?
49.
God tells Joshua to march around Jericho once for 6 days and 7 times on the 7th day. So those of you that answered 13, give yourself praise. That's good. Once around every day and the last day 7 times. I'm sorry, I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible. You have to read it. above, 20 above, or 30 and above? I need to be 18. That'd be at least 18. How about 20? 20? Anybody want to say 30? 30 and above? Praise God. Brian the writer was 20 and above. He said if you were 20 and above, you could be sent to war. God would call you to war. Amen? That's interesting. Not 18, not 21, but 20. Who was Israel's oldest son in the Bible? Now you might be Israel, Jacob, Joseph's oldest brother. Who was Joseph's oldest brother? Well, who was Israel's oldest son? Was it Simeon? Was it Reuben? Or was it Benjamin? Who was Israel's oldest son? How many of them was Simeon? Remember the story of his brother Simeon? How about Reuben? Anybody want to say Reuben? How about Benjamin, the oldest son Benjamin? Well, we know Benjamin was the youngest son, amen? And we know Simeon is the middle son. Reuben was the oldest son. Joseph's oldest brother, who sold him into slavery. What kind of brother is he, right? All his brothers threw him in the hole. They were going to kill him. And Reuben said, no, yeah, let's do something else. We'll send him into slavery. We'll get some money for him. We'll give it to Dad. How were Joshua's spies? He sent spies into Jericho. How were they saved from the king of Jericho? He sent spies into Jericho. And how were they saved? Did the king's son save them? Because he knew the truth. Or a sandstorm? Did a sandstorm save them? Or a harlot hit them in her roof? A harlot is a what?
A prostitute.
How were Joshua's spies to Jericho saved from the king of Jericho? How many think the king's son hit them? Anybody? A sandstorm saved them. Anybody? Anybody? A harlot hit them in the roof. And her name was?
Rahab.
Rahab. Rahab. No, don't say that. Too easy, right? Rahab. One more question for you. How many times did Brother John ring the triangle this morning after the Lord's Prayer? Was it six times? Was it seven times? Or was it eight times? You'll be back. How many think he ran it six times? How about seven? You got seven? How about eight? Anybody eight? Oh, where did that? There you go. How many times, Don?
Seven
times! They pay attention. They just didn't count on me. Because everybody turned and said, was that God speaking to me? You all be crazy, right? If we went down the street now and I parted the Housatonic River, you all would follow me like sheep, wouldn't you? Yeah, maybe you all become Yankee fans, then, wouldn't you? I told you, I parted the river, now you're all Yankee fans, right? Even Marianne would have to be a Yankee. Well, you guys turn on me in a hurry, don't you? We love you, Pastor. Somebody's missing.
Where's Fred?
We got to replay it. That's not the answer I was looking for. I think we'll end it right there. Praise the Lord. Will you make sure he hears this message today, Elder Nancy? You make sure your husband hears this message today. I guess. Hi there, Fred. Hello. Everybody say, hello, Fred.
Hello, Fred.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
Hello, Fred. Fred. Edit. We'll mention them six or seven more times and I'll have to do some work editing. Praise God. Today's message is not to challenge you, but to encourage you. To draw closer to God, to make you stronger, which of course will make this church stronger. What people miss about church and life and faith in God's word, church should be powerful. This building should be powerful because God's house. To be spiritually united, that anyone who visits here will have to say, what the heck is going on in there? Understand what I'm saying? Anybody that comes into this church, if it's so spiritually united, spiritually, that they had to look around and say, what the heck's going on here? That place is so tight, so united. Everybody's together. There might not be a lot of people, but they're all in one accord. That changes people, amen? That makes people see that. Okay? Not a new idea or simply a suggestion. Where age has nothing to do with it. I wrote that down. Age has nothing to do with this sermon. It's not what can I do, but what can God do? He's the miracle maker. We are His tools. Stop seeing in the natural. And I tell you, if you start seeing in the spiritual, amen? When you're not feeling well, how many don't feel well? Sometimes I have a bad week. Sometimes standing up for an hour, my feet get numb. I got to pray it out. I know that I don't feel good, but I know God's going to heal me. He's going to heal my body. I pulled something out of the van a couple weeks ago. I mean, I just simply did a little thing, and I felt a little twinge. I just, and I smiled. I said, you know, boy, it's like 3 weeks later, and if I turn the wrong way, it hurts. But I know God will heal me. I know that. See, I got to see things spiritually. The church has to see things spiritually. You understand what I'm saying? We can't see things in the natural. We're going to fail as a church, as a body. So what excuses do you use? What sound good to you? What sounds reasonable? What others agree? Sometimes that's the worst thing, to have others agree with you when you're complaining, amen? When you're gossiping, amen? When you're doing something you shouldn't. But I ask you this, 3 words, does God agree? Ooh. Trusting God is not a suggestion. To trust Him is not punishment. It becomes victory. How many want victory? Let's read a little bit. Let's story time. Everybody sit back and let go. A little story time. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Woo! And Joshua said to him, and Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversary? So he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped, and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua 5. Obedience to God. Are you for us or for our adversaries? That's what he asked him. I just read it. Listen to what he said. Are you for us or for our adversaries? The answer is no.
Yeah.
That's not the right answer, amen? That's not the right answer. Or maybe it wasn't the right question to be asking. Are you with us? He said, are you with us or for our adversaries? And the commander said no. So the question should have been, are we on the Lord's side, amen? You see how he answered that? He asked a question that made no sense, and the answer was right along with it. Are you for us or our adversary? The answer, no. We need to ask ourselves that. Are we on the Lord's side? He's the commander of the army of the Lord. I have come. The commander is who? The leader, amen? The head. Who's the head? Jesus. Joshua is seeing Jesus in the flesh. Not Michael. People think that was Michael. Michael is what, children? He's an angel. He's not the leader. He's an angel. He has seen, he said, I am the commander of the Lord's army. A commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. So he's seeing Jesus. Michael is an angel. He's not the leader. And then he tells him to do something. Take off your sandals, for it's holy ground that you stand. Who said that before? God said that to who? Moses at the burning bush, remember? He said, take off your sandals, for the ground is holy. Don't even trample it with your sandals. So this is Jesus. Joshua is seeing Jesus. You know why? Because what Joshua was going to ask Joshua to do, would sound impossible, would sound unbelievable, would sound unimaginable. And it was not a military response. We're going to find out that Joshua was a military leader of the Israelites. So what God was going to ask Joshua to do would make no sense to a military leader. Can I have an amen? It made no sense. But would Joshua obey? obey. It was that important. Listen to me. When you read that again, understand it was that important what God was going to ask Joshua to do that he came himself. Amen? Imagine that. Imagine if he came to you because thinking, Sergio, because it was that important that he was going to tell you to do something that sounded so unbelievable and he had to come and tell you himself. Praise God. Hello, Brother Fred. So I ask you this, church, what about you? What about you? Your friends agree? Does God agree? You ever ask yourself that before you say something or write something or print something or send something or yell something? Your friends might, you might have two or three friends, but does God agree? You want to do it? Does God want you to do it? Oh, well, now you're really putting the pressure on, Pastor. So I ask you this, how much are you willing to lose? How much? Your friends will feel bad if you lose, but not as bad as you. All these friends who are supporting you to do something that God wouldn't want you to do when you do it, and they're clapping for you, and then you lose something, they're going to feel, oh, that's too bad. But they're not going to feel half as bad as you if you lost something of so value because of what you did. Understand that. So whose plan are you going to use? Whose plan are you using? Again, I tell you this, church, you might want to write this down. Trusting God is not punishment. Ooh. Letting God lead you is not a weakness. It shows wisdom and strength. Heck, don't argue with me, argue with God. But I tell you, good luck with that. Following God is not punishment, it's strength. It's not weakness when you let God lead you. It shows that you have a brain and wisdom. You're saying God can do it better than I. Maybe I should do it God's way. If this is what I'm doing is not God's way, maybe I better stop right now. Amen? Because God will show me the way then if I listen to him. And if I'm right, he'll give me strength. And if I'm wrong, he'll put the wall up. Because I want to listen to God's way. Joshua walked with Moses. How many know that to be true? He took the Israelites into the promised land. Joshua was with Moses. When Moses died and was forbidden to go into the promised land, who led them in there? Joshua. He was a leader, a military leader, through the 7-year conquest of the promised land. How many know that? When he went into the promised land, it wasn't easy. He had to fight different kings and different people and different groups of people to get what God had promised him. He had to fight. He was a military leader. So when God was going to ask him to do something so unbelievable, unmilitary-like, God thought it was important enough that he went and talked to Joshua himself. Wow. Joshua has a position of respect amongst Muslims, and to me that's striking to me. Even Muslim belief, even the Muslim belief in the Quran, they have respect, spiritual respect for Joshua, who he was and what he did. Now the book of Joshua follows the 5 books in the Bible that are called the Torah, amen? The first 5 books in the Bible. Joshua is the next book right there because it's right after entering the promised land. Joshua was 85 years old when he became the leader and he died at 110. He was 25 years the leader of the Israelites and he remained faithful to who? God. Your friends agree? Does God agree? You want to do it. Does God want you to do it? And again, I ask you, how much are you willing to lose? You. Because when you lose something because of your mistakes, and your friends are going to feel bad, but not as bad as you. But if you don't want to do it, here's the thing. If you don't want to do it, what God wants you to do, God's not going to be upset at you, amen? Did you all know that? If God tells you to do something or leads you to do something you don't want to do it, he won't be upset at you. You know what he'll do? Church, he'll find somebody else to do it. You don't want to do it? Okay, fine. You go ahead. I'll get somebody else who wants to do it. Judge someone by what they do and how they dress, but not know their heart? You see, we do that all the time. We judge people by what they wear or what they say, but we don't know their heart, see? We can't. Who can God trust? That's the thing. Who can he trust? Someone who realizes and sees what God can do. Amen. That's who he trusts. Someone that he sees will follow him. Somebody that he sees will do what he tells him to do, lead him. That's who he can trust. How many want to be trusted by God? Come on, I do. I want every Sunday to be trusted by God. I want my message to be heard and be trusted by you. Because I believe I get it from God. This is not what I was going to preach on. God pushed me completely away from the subject I wanted to preach on. We might do a Bible study, which is fun. I love Bible study. So, someone who realizes and sees what God can do, you believe, so they should see in you. I tell you all the time, you should never have to tell somebody you're a Christian. Oh, that's hard. No, it's not. You have joy, you have peace, you have good success. How many have had good success in your life? How many have eaten supper every day this week? How many had breakfast? How many have a car? How many have things in life that other people don't? You do. God has shown you good success. What you've done with it is up to you. If you put yourself in a hole behind credit cards, well then God said, well that will help you get out of it. But you put yourself there. God had nothing to do with it. In a believer's life, other people should see what God is doing or what God has done in your life. Your good success. Amen. You see, when you act that way, you're not doing anything. God will do the work. You're just representing God. You're that light. You're that beacon we always talk about. You see, that's how you change the world. You think of, well, how I'm older now. I'm 70 years old. I just turned 70. Feels like I can't believe it. But God says, I got a lot for you to do. If you just show the light. You just preach the word, and I got things to do. God can do what I can't do. God can do what you can't do. But you just show everybody. Why are you following God? Look at my success. Well, you're not making $500,000 playing baseball. She says, no. No, but I went to the movies this week. I ate out in a restaurant this week. I had wonderful time with my friends this week. I had a blessed week. I have a beautiful wife, a little home that I love and cherish. I'm pretty blessed. I was able to drive here and walk up the stairs and walk in. I'm pretty blessed. I want other people to have that. Greater than things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What God is doing and what God has done in your life, you see, that's where H has nothing to do with it. Your friends, your neighbors, your family. Do you tell your family every time you talk to your sister, your brother, your aunt, your cousin, how great God is? No, I bet you don't. I bet you tell your family problems and complaints about this person and that person. But do you ever tell anybody, you call somebody in the church and say, hey, Art, God is so good. I was so glad to see you on Sunday. You look so good. I made my heart happy. See, Art can tell somebody else. What do you do? I go to church every Sunday. These people are nuts, but I love them. That's church. Everybody laughed when we said hello to Fred, but that's church. Amen? You go to a church with 1,000 people. Would I love it? Probably. I don't know. Maybe I'd be careful what I ask for. But when you walk into that church, I guarantee you that the church doesn't stop and say, hey, Fred! When you don't show up on a Sunday, I'm sure they say, well, Faith isn't here today. We miss you when you're not. See, that's what church is, spiritually united. Praise God, I got another story. How many want another story? I got another story to it. Wonderful story. Sit back and relax. It's story time. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two spies from Acacia Grove and to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab, and they lodged there. The house of a prostitute. Joshua sent these two guys out and they're staying at a house of prostitution. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, yes, the men came to me, yes. But I don't know where they were from. I didn't know. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men were and men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. I don't know where they went. Oh my God, they were here. I didn't know. But they came. They went out the back door. Go get her. Sick her. She said that. Well, not sick her, my dear. She said, where the men went, I don't know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up into the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued. pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the ford. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. And she said this to them, the harlot, little harlot. I know that the Lord has given you the land that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above all and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to me, my father's house, and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that I have, and deliver us our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, it shall be when the Lord has given us this land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. You don't want to do it. Somebody else will. Amen. God sees what we do. God saw what Rahab did. Hallelujah. She's not a believer. Amen. Understand this. She's not. She's the fear of not being on the side of the love of God. That was her fear. She wasn't a believer. She was just afraid not to be on the side of God. How can I get an amen? She was not a Christian. Maybe due to her family, she was just the opposite. But she acted. That's why we read about her in the Bible. We read about a harlot in the Bible. Joshua says, two men, go view the land. Picture this, right? They come to the house of the harlot and stay there. The harlot is who? Good. You got it. Why would they stay there? Aha. Perhaps it was the safest place to hide and remain anonymous. Maybe they felt that they just hid there, that nobody would come looking for them. Who would look for Israelites? Jewish men in the house of Israel, too. Perhaps it was the city. The city was walled in and guarded. There's two spies sneak in and they hide there. But then the king finds out. Somebody gossiped. I don't even want to know if anybody here did that. Zippy, did you tell? The king finds out that the two men are there. So she goes, they go to her. And they confront Rahab, the prostitute. Bring out the men to us. She lied. Not only now is she a prostitute, but she's a liar. Liar. She lied to the king's men. Yeah, they were here, but somehow, I don't know, they left. And she doubled down on her lie, saying, well, maybe if you leave now, you can catch him, because it probably is right out there, right down the road. Go now. Go. Run. Go. Liar. Deceiver. But she had hidden them in the roof under stalks of flax. This harlot lies to the king. Two strikes. And here we are reading about her in our Bible. She's a harlot. There ain't nobody in this house is a harlot. She's in our Bible. She's in God's Word. How can that be? She's not a Christian. She didn't do something like that. But she acted because she was afraid of what God could do. She saw all that the Lord had done for the Israelites. You already know that. How many know he parted the sea? You've seen the movie. You've seen Charlton Heston with the rod. You saw how he fed him for 40 years in the desert. You saw how he destroyed all the kings on the other side of the desert. We all know this. She saw it. And she said, I want to be with that people. I'm going to do what I can. Why? She sees all the Lord had done for the Israelites. And she said, my people are terrified of you. We heard of how you dried the waters of the Red Sea and the kings you destroyed. She believed now. He is God. So she says, help me in my father's house. She said, give me a true token. You know what that is? She said, give me a promise. Give me something. Give me something. Tell me something that I can hold, something that I can hold in my hand, a true token. Give me your word that you're going to help me. For my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, she didn't leave anybody out. And for all that I have, save us from death. This woman saying, I believe God and your God, and I want everything. Not just me and my husband, me and my whatever I have. She said, my whole family, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, everything I have. That's faith, amen. That's realizing how great God is. We don't realize it sometimes. But she was asking for everything, this harlot liar. Thanks God. Give me a token. And she said, simply because since I have shown you kindness. Oh my God, what a story. Our lives and your lives, and none of you tell us, shall be as you ask. They made that token. They said, as long as nobody finds out, it will be as you ask. You, your mother, your sisters, your brothers, and all that you have will be saved on the day of destruction. It'll be all one, but not you. Rahab would seem impossible to save. She would have if you met her on the street before. Rahab was saved by her actions, her deeds, and her faith. Saved not by man, but by God. No one is ever too far to save. Amen? She made a deal with God. She made a commitment, a pledge. Not because of what God had done for her, because of what she saw God do. She saw it, heard about it, she believed, and she acted on it. Yet here we are believers, and we don't always act on it. We don't always act on what God. We're believers. We're all Christians. We're walking around thinking we're something special, and God is saying, I got work for you to do. Not today. I'm too busy. No, I don't agree with that. Oh, I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, see, she wanted one thing. She wanted to be on God's side. She saw it. She made a commitment. Her and her household were saved. This liar, this harlot, gets mentioned in God's word. We're reading about them in the Bible today, 2022. Right now, I'm reading about harlot, Rahab. Wow. What do people see in you? What do people hear from you? How does it change, or how can it change their lives too? See, that's the question today. That's where the encouragement comes in. So you say, it's not in your age, but what do people see in you? Hear from you. You don't have to do anything, but let them see it. Let them hear it from you. How does it, or how can it change their lives too? And I close with this. With God, nothing is impossible. I believe it. For you, and for this church, your church. Give him praise. Remember, I tell you, you're going to be surprised who you see in heaven and who you don't. I just pray that you see me. I'm believing for it. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how much you can do with just smiles and kindness. How much you can move heaven and earth with doing a good deed for somebody. Brother John's not here today. He's doing a good deed for somebody. I pray God bless us and beyond. But I pray for you. I pray for this church. When people walk into this church, for the first time, I want them to look around and say, well, there's not a lot of people, but I can sense something. I can feel the spirit of unity. We all don't agree. How many know that we all don't agree on everything? We're not supposed to agree on everything. That's not how God created us to agree on everything. But we agree on one thing. His name is Jesus. We stand under that light of Jesus. When we fail, we ask God to change us, not our neighbors. Amen? When we fall short, we don't ask God to change somebody else. We ask God to change us so I don't fall short. Well, I pray to God when I left here Sunday, because this is such everything to me. I had what I wanted to preach on, and I started reading about it, and then I started realizing, no, there's more. God said, tell them about Rahab. Tell them about this harlot who's in my Bible, his word. Tell them about Joshua, the great things he did, and the things he had to do that would sound impossible. Sometimes you think it's impossible, and God laughs at it. The things that we think are, you know, we can get another 10 people here next week and 10 people here. Well, that's impossible. I don't think it's impossible. I just ask God to help me. Help us. Help us be that church that when people, and it's not the numbers. I get it. But it's people I want to find God. I see it. I hear it on the news. I hear people looking for what we have. I hear people totally lost. Nobody's telling our kids about God. There's no God in school. How can our kids survive without some kind of talk about God? With some kind of talk about faith? Not religion. Man-made religion, but with faith in God. believe it. So we need to tell our children what God is doing, our grandchildren, what God is doing in us. You've got a beautiful granddaughter. Tell her what God is doing in your life, how you feel, what the joy is. Amen? You know, being alone with God and that joy you have. Tell them, you're never alone. Please, you're never alone. Please understand, you can always come to me and talk to me. No matter what, please don't take a pill somebody else gave you. Please, because one pill can end your life. We see it every day, a teenager taking one pill. They get it online. Are you kidding me? And they're dying for lack of knowledge. Nobody took the time. Amen? You know, kids are depressed. I want to shake them. Somebody ought to tell you, you can't be depressed at 15, 16. There's too much glory. There's too much world to enjoy. There's too many things. Go out in the outdoors. Throw some rock. Go fishing. Go hunting. Go walking with somebody. Go have a good time. Go for a hike. But everybody's getting back in their house and nobody's talking about God. And I believe this church is so on the right track. I do. I'm claiming it. I'm claiming in Jesus' name. Not me. I told you last week there's smarter pastors than me. I'm sorry. Probably greater churches. But this is where God put us. That's why we got to do the best we can here. Amen. With each other. And be strong, because we all have aches and pains. And we're all getting older. Nobody going the other way. So we got to be better. Spiritually. And we've got to show the world what a united church looks like and sounds like. Brother Jim's not here today because he's going with his wife. They have a special thing at his wife's church. She likes the denomination she goes to. He loves coming here. He really does. He comes to every Bible study. He comes here. But he said to me this week, he said, I'm going to go with my wife. And I said, what a blessing, Jim. She's going to be so blessed to have you there. He said, yeah, I know, but I'm going to miss the message. And that makes my heart happy that he likes the message. Hallelujah, amen. And that's what we're doing. Maybe you didn't know Rahab as well as you do now. Maybe you didn't know much about Joshua like you did now. But now you know and you see. You come to Bible study, we're going to talk more about Joshua. God asked him to do something that sounded absolutely ridiculous. But you know what? He did it. That's why it was important that he went to Joshua. Not Michael, not an angel. Remember when the angels, when these people we read about, they fall down at the foot of the angel, and the angel says what? Stand up, don't do that. Not this time. Because it was Jesus. When he fell down, Jesus left him. Now, God said, take off your sandals, because you're standing on holy ground. Praise God, please be Jesus. That's what we can do together. If you want to. Give him praise, too. Just give him praise. I love it so much. I love that little comment from the Bible saying, you're doing it God's way. It's not punishment, and it's not a suggestion. It's God's way. Do you want it? No, yeah, you're going to take salvation. I know you are. You're going to accept salvation. You're going to accept what he did to you for you on that cross. You want that? Oh, yeah, I'm going to take that salvation. I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm going to heaven. He says, I've got a lot of work for you to do. You don't want to do it, he's not going to be mad. He'll just find somebody else to do it. I don't want him to find somebody else to do it. I want to do all I can, because I know it'll bless my wife, who has been nothing but a blessing to me and my house and our home. I want to bless her. I want you to bless each other. I want you to bless your friends and your neighbors. I want them to see how God has blessed you, and let them see and hear what you're doing in your life. Success is a funny word, but when you woke up this morning and you were able to drive to church, you were successful. You put on a pair of clean clothes, new clothes, you're successful. When you have a smile and you can breathe, you're successful. You got things to share. Sure, we're going to accept salvation. We're going to do it right now. But accept that God just has more for you. Following him is not a punishment. You find yourself that you think you're full of wisdom and you're smart, then use that wisdom and follow God. Let go of what your friends think you should do. Let go of those things he doesn't want you to do. Because when something is taken away from you, like I said, your friends are going to feel bad, but not as bad as you're going to feel. God will bring you back. God will restore you and lift you up. But I'm trying to tell you, save you from that pain. Save you from that mistake. Save you from the things that you're going to have to work through that you didn't have to, by just following God. Praise the Lord. On that cross, beatings and whippings, he took them. Tore that bread and said, that's my body. It's going to be torn just like that. He said, just do it. Eat this bread and do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, forgive us for our iniquities. Thank you that Brother Ray put it into my heart, my spirit, to ask for forgiveness before we do this each and every week so that we can be totally cleansed, completely cleaned by the blood of the Lamb, the word of His testimony. Forgive us for any shortcomings, any words, any deeds, anything that we did, Lord, that separated us from the direction You want us to be in, Lord, that's all. Forgive us and lead us, Lord, as we accept this, the remission of our sins. Hallelujah, through Your blood, in Jesus' name we remember. I pray this morning that Brother David feels more peace and less pain today, less stress today than he thought even possible. I pray that he feels stronger by the day, by the hour, by the minute, because his faith in God is pure and strong. That God lead him someplace he needs to be to get that healing. I pray for our friend Ed, who's a farmer up in Washington Depot, who hurt his back. Wonderful, beautiful man, him and his wife. Beautiful man. Beautiful couple, I pray for his back. I don't know if it's just me, but I prayed to God about David, and God showed me a jacuzzi in a hot tub. I told my wife, He showed me that. Maybe just a jacuzzi, instead of going for more medicine, instead of going and putting in something else in your body, find that jacuzzi, find that hot tub, sit in that hot water, because water's from God, and that hot water is good, and that heat and that movement would just sound the muscles. Because how many know sometimes we overdo it? We're not 45 anymore. Sometimes we feel like it when we start doing things and our body wakes us up the next day saying, wrong. Brother Zippy is 86 years old. He works so much with Lily's father, taking trees down and pulling brush and working physical work. God is touching him because I don't even know how he does it. Yeah, he just said me either. But I prayed about David and he showed me just as if you said, get in that hot tub. Let God, let just the water and the swirl of the water and the heat absorb into the muscles. Even once or twice or three times, amen? Without a cost and without adding anything else into your body. Hallelujah. I just prayed that. Y'all pray with us. Thank you, Lord. Can we give God praise this morning? We can be in this. Well, you ask a lot of God, don't we? Praise Him and blessings. We ask a lot of God to help the Lord every day. He loves it. Not like your friend, if you ask him for a favor every day, he'll leave, he won't even answer the door. Heck, you got people you won't even answer the phone for. Tell the truth. But not God. Thankfully, He picks up the phone every time you call. Anytime you start to whisper His name, He hears you. He's there. That's His desire, to give you the desires of your heart. He does have a few things He asks of us. To follow Him, to listen to Him, to read His Word, to study His Word, and to trust Him. Not a suggestion, and it's not punishment, to let God lead you. I pray that you hear this message this morning, and it changes so many things already. Say, you know what, I can't afford to do it if God doesn't want me to. I can't afford to lose something. If God's going to take it away, I know that He'll restore me again, but we don't want anything to happen. We don't want the bad to happen before the good. We got good and good on top of good and blessings on top of blessings. And we receive those blessings when we give. Love, respect, kindness. You saw what happened to Rahab. She just gave kindness. And look at God mentioned her in her book, in His book. There she was, the harlot, the liar. And we're reading about her, the great things that God did in her life because she simply believed what she saw. We have so much more. We take this offering, Lord, and we give this to You to multiply it for this church, Second Congregational in Derby, our home, our spiritual home with the Lord. In Jesus' name, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. God is talking to you right now. Let Him fill you right now with peace. His peace that surpasses understanding. I know that my left foot feels a little numb and I just have that peace. That's going to pass. I know there's reasons for it and it's going to pass. I trust God with my strength and my music. I thank God for the messages that we share together, His Word, that just never grows old and never grows tired. There's always something to read on a page that I didn't read before or an understanding on a page I didn't understand before. It's amazing how that book is alive It's alive. Every page is alive, telling stories. Wonderful stories. Stories that make you laugh. Stories that will make you, wow. That's God. He wants that for His children, and that's you. For this house, I pray that. Just love you all with all my heart. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Hallelujah. May you have that peace this week and this day and have that love. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, bless the United States of America. Love one another, but just let God in. Thank you. God bless you. See you Sunday.